A thousand years of history and tradition unroll in London town on Coronation Day.
Throughout history, the British have prided themselves on their stiff upper lip. Their characteristic stoicism and detached, almost indifferent demeanor has, throughout the ages, added a touch of class and elegance to every venture Great Britain has ever set out to achieve. Be it in the motherland itself or on foreign soil, this demeanour has served to impress those on the receiving end of the British no-nonsense attitude. And in the British media as well, a detached manner of reporting has served to make the BBC appear a model of impartiality. You won't see any overexertion from these newsreaders. No meaningfully drawn-out syllables or indignant tones and eyebrow raising, as you might see on an American or Eastern news network. No, that's just not the way the British do it. The BBC is the largest broadcaster in the world, as it should be, becoming the first broadcasting organisation in the world when it was launched in 1922. It set the stage for what was to become the most effective way of communicating new ideas, sciences, and the latest events. It would be 30 years before anything like competition would come along for the British Broadcasting Corporation. And even today, few can rival BBC documentaries and the like. But getting a head start has a multitude of advantages. It's the victors who write history. And to the detriment of third world broadcasters, it's the powers that be who rule the airwaves. It's 2009. Campaigning for Iran's presidential elections is well underway across the length and breadth of the country. The atmosphere is upbeat and almost festive. Foreign correspondents are on the ground. Banners everywhere, campaign colours flying. It's a momentous event.
Supporters of the fundamentalist President Mahmoud Ahmadinejad face off against those of his main rival, reformist Mir Hussein Mousavi.
World news is punctuated regularly with images of Iran's presidential hopefuls and their supporters. One channel that gave the events extensive coverage was BBC Persian. The BBC launched the channel only 6 months before the elections. June 12th, the day of the elections. 46 million people are eligible to vote. The media shows long queues of people outside polling stations waiting to cast their ballots. It's the day a lot of heated campaigning has been working up to. A lot of motivational speeches in universities, mosques, and public venues. A lot of green and red splashed all over the place. The Iranian nation casts its ballots, and everyone holds their breath. Hours later, preliminary results start to trickle out, and finally, it's confirmed. Ahmadinejad will be president for another 4 years. Some rejoice, others mourn. The capital Tehran, where Mir Hussein Mousavi was favoured by the majority, gives out a sigh of disappointment. But trouble is brewing.
برنده انتخابات به روایت وزارت کشور دیروز هنگام رای دادن او به نظر نمی رسید که چندان نسبت به پیروزیش خوشبین باشد. در چند هفته مبارزات انتخاباتی مخالفان او با تعداد زیاد به خیابان ها آمده بودند. تأکید داشتند که او باید برود.
BBC, CNN, Fox News and the like go into overdrive to report on the turmoil that followed. Meanwhile, BBC Persian broadcasted in Farsi for the people in the thick of the post-election unrest. That wasn't a problem. Everywhere was doing the same. It was headline material. But the way these channels went about reporting is what raised eyebrows among political analysts.
گزارش‌ها از تهران حاکی است بعضی مناطق این شهر ناآرام است و پلیس و نیروهای موسوم به لباس شخصی با معترضان به نتایج انتخابات درگیر شدند. نیروی انتظامی ستاد میرحسین موسوی را بسته و مانع برگزاری مصاحبه مطبوعاتی او شده است. خبرنگاران فضای حاکم بر تهران را متشنج توصیف کردند. هنگامه شهیدی
خبرنگار در The various guests and experts BBC Persian invited on their programs to offer an analysis of the situation all had one thing in common. All of them were staunch enemies of the Islamic Republic's government.
ولی الان که انتخابات رو در واقع به نفع آقای احمدی نژاد حالا دستگاه حکومتی خاتمه دادن، من تصورم این هستش که از این صحبت‌ها مدافعان آقای احمدی نژاد برای تحت فشار گذاشتن کسانی که در مقطع انتخابات علیه آقای احمدی نژاد نقش آفرینی کردن استفاده خواهند کرد. آخرین خبرها
در مقابل The channel took sides. It sided with the opposition.
نتایج دهمین انتخابات ریاست جمهوری ایران ایرانیان مقیم لندن رو هم یک شوکه کرده و باعث شده که حدود 150 نفرشون امروز مقابل سفارت ایران در مرکز لندن جمع بشن. اونها یه چند ساعتی هستش که اینجا شعار میدن و گفتن که برنامه های دیگه ای هم در روزهای آینده دارن و میخوان از این طریق اعتراض خودشون رو به نتایج انتخابات اعلام بکنن.
This was not the first time the British government had used its BBC news network to influence events in Iran. By its own admission, the BBC Persian radio station played a key role in the 1953 coup that ousted Iran's democratically elected Prime Minister, Mohammad Mossadegh. This led to the restoration of the Pahlavi monarchy under dictator Mohammad Reza Pahlavi.
Given this history, it's no wonder that people in Iran, ordinary Iranian citizens, become quite worried when they see the British government is at it again. They are trying to, this time, use the profession of journalism to get to areas that they have no business getting into.
The pattern in Britain's attitude and actions toward Iran forced Tehran to ban any kind of cooperation with BBC Persian. But of course that didn't stop things happening surreptitiously. Uploaded footage of street battles were broadcasted and unconfirmed accounts of the situation on the ground given unlimited airtime.
The role the foreign media played was a destructive one. They turned lies into truths with the help of the media and channeled the people toward instability and encouraged discontent. We took those acts as blatant interference in our domestic affairs.
News of multiple arrests started coming in. Among them, those sending footage of attacks on government buildings and police stations to BBC Persian.
دارم با همدیگه دعوا میکنم، یعنی برخورد میکنم و از اون طرف خیابونم الان یگانهای ویژه‌ای هستن که دارن راه میرن. این خیابون ولیعصر پایین‌تر از اسکان و دقیقاً پایین‌تر از مرکز تجاری پایتخت.
مشتی نمونه خروار از این همه درگیری و خشونت که
تو شهرهای مختلف که برای ما ویدیو فرستاده بودن دقیقاً همین تصاویر، البته با شکل‌های مختلف. یه ایمیل من فقط بخونم، فکر کنم نمی‌رسم بخونم.
فردا ما تو برنامه فردا وقت زیاد داریم. متشکرم. فقط دست در نکنه. He talked about
America's role in the One of them was Mazyar Bahari, a Canadian Iranian journalist who sent footage of attacks on a military base in Tehran. This is what he sent. Later, Iranian police released footage of the same incident, but from another angle.
On this side, we have a person who was supposed to be a journalist, but then we find out the person is doing things that a journalist is not supposed to do, which is for example, take part in activities that are illegal in a country, and this person is imprisoned, and a report is basically created to show the audience of Press TV and make the audience of Press TV familiar with these type of activities that American and British media outlets engage in.
More BBC Persian agents were arrested inside Iran. But the network denied having anyone on the ground in the country.
صریحاً اعلام میکنم ما هیچ گونه همکاری در ایران به هیچ شکلی نداریم بی بی سی اصلا با کسی در ایران در ارتباط نیست اگرم با کسی صحبت میکنیم پخش میکنیم اونها هم خبرنگاران مستقل هستن یا دانشگاهی هستن یا هر کسی دیگری هستن ولی اینکه کسی برای ما کاری بخواد بکنه همچین چیزی وجود نداره.
Later, doubt was cast on this assertion when the Iranian government released documents that showed BBC Persian was recruiting inside Iran and training the volunteers in a third country.
کسانی رو که BBC به عنوان در حقیقت نیروی خودش گزینش کرد.
Those whom the BBC chose as its agents were not recruited through the normal channels, but via third parties in Turkey and the Emirates. The recruits were interviewed and their records looked into to make sure they had no former ties with the Islamic Republic.
These pictures provided by the IRGC Cyber Defense Command are of the BBC Persian training courses that were held in Turkey. Back in Iran, many of these trainees have been arrested and questioned regarding their activities. Due to judicial restrictions, we cannot show their faces.
نحوه دعوت که به این صورت بودش که وبسایت بی بی سی بخش آموزش آنلاین روزنامه نگاری داشت که برای اون بخش رزومه کاری میفرستادی و پذیرفته میشدی. یه بخش آموزش آنلاین بود که مثلا توی چند مرحله آموزش آنلاین داشت و مثلا آخر به سوالا جواب میدادی و میرفتی مرحله بعدی. کسایی که اونجا فعال بودن ازشون دعوت شد که توی یه دوره آموزشی که توی استانبول برگزار میشد شرکت کنن. از طریق ایمیل دعوت شد ازشون و بلیت ها اعلام شد که هزینه سفر به عهده برگزار کننده است و بلیت هم از طریق ایمیل ارسال شد.
As far as the Iranian government is concerned, the BBC's activities inside Iran cannot be described as merely reporting events. Cyberspace has been used in many instances to organize large-scale events to shake things up and create an atmosphere of discontent. A good example would be Britain's Foreign Commonwealth Office's official Facebook page, where it posts numerous articles that express opinions about Iran's domestic affairs, something it is not authorized to do.
این الغای مطالب کذب و ایجاد سوال در اذهان مردم
با spreading false information and putting thoughts into people's heads are aimed at discrediting the government. They're aimed at undermining national security and stability. They're targeting our national interests. Maybe their final goal is to create instability in society so they can achieve what they really want, which is the toppling of the government.
BBC Persian's activities were surreptitious, from its recruiting methods to the way it paid its agents within Iran.
برای هر گزارش هر خبر 20,000 تومان و مثلا گزارش بلندتر 50,000 تومان. از یک صرافی توی خیابان آزادی از یک صرافی دریافت می‌کردم. نخ از یه صرافی.
The IRGC Cyber Defense Command says all this aside, those actions that constitute espionage on the BBC's part cannot be tolerated. Among the documents released was this, a file that lists all the financial transactions of Iran's South Pars gas field over the past 2 years. This the BBC received from agents it recruited from among the personnel of Iran's oil and gas industry. Afterwards, a seemingly innocent video clip was broadcasted by BBC Persian. The significance of it came later. Behzad Bulur, the host of a BBC Persian program called Kuk, sent this email to one of these young men, asking him for the exact geographical location of the oil rig where the clip was videoed.
We have had instances of BBC being interested in the contracts that Iranian military is taking part, is doing, and is part of, which again has nothing to do with a news organization.
That was just one instance of information sharing between BBC agents in Iran with the network. The IRGC Cyber Defense Command intercepted this email that was sent by one of the agents recently arrested to BBC Persian. It lists the personal telephone and cell numbers of top Iranian military brass.
منم فقط با ایمیل یعنی مثلا من در طول حدود 9-10 ماهی که من با این خبرنگار کار کردم اصلا ندیدمشون. یعنی من همش فقط با ایمیل باشون در ارتباط بودم. گاهی وقت من ترجمه این بود که ایمیل کنم و چت کنم، خیلی وقتا اون خودش زنگ می‌زد. گفت اینش کار کنم، اونش کار کنم فلان اینا. ولی خب ارتباطم فقط با ایمیل بود. مثلا من اینکه میگم وقتی خودشون با ایمیل برای من فرستاده بودن، من اصلا فکر نمی‌کردم مشکلی داشته باشه. ضمن اینکه الانم که به ماجرا فکر می‌کنم، معمولا خبرنگارا همه شماره تلفن رو دارن.
The latest trend in the world of communication is the use of social networking sites like Facebook and Twitter. But these sites are excellent instruments for more than just casual communication. The world's most recent events have all been in some way influenced by social media, to such an extent that the success of whole revolutions have been attributed to them. In cyberspace, anonymity is a plus for those who want to carry out covert operations without being detected.
من اطلاعاتی که به بی بی سی دادم اون مصاحبه ها بود که با تلویزیونشون کرده بودن. ولی مثلا پناه یک مثلا یادم یکی دو دفعه توی تماس مفصل مثلا با هم حرف زدیم شفاهی با یه دفعه مثلا تماس تلفنی بودی که داشتم چت و وایس چت و اینا.
So where is the red line? When can we say a reporter has stepped out of his jurisdiction and reduced himself to the level of a spy?
It depends on the national interests and laws of a country. What definition that country has of national interests. A certain action might be considered espionage in one country because the gathering of that information might threaten national security and render it illegal. But the same action might be considered reporting, not espionage, in another country. Because countries have sovereignty. They have the right to define their national interests and determine what kind of information gathering is allowed.
نوع خاصی از جمع‌آوری خبر رو به عنوان جاسوسی یک عمل مجرمانه و غیرقانونی بدونن.
The BBC has been severely criticized for its covert information gathering tactics. The way agents have been recruited, paid, and the classified information the network has tried to obtain via them. Iran's foreign ministry spokesman says for Britain, these tactics are nothing new.
از این فناوری‌ها برای تهدید ملت‌های مستقل دارن استفاده می‌کنن و سیاست‌های استعماری قدیمی خودشون.
At the moment, they're using these technologies to threaten other nations and pursue their imperialistic policies.
You can't threaten an entire nation with military action. Ironically, threats boost people's resolve to stand on their own two feet. That's why in independent countries, they try to work on people's minds. They want to create instability and anxiety in society so they can demolish it from within. This is the greatest disservice a media outlet can do.
The BBC itself made news in 2011 when it announced it was facing a reduction in its yearly budget.
Of course, not just the BBC, but every public institution in the country, and indeed the whole British economy, is going through quite difficult times. And I think in the end it's reasonable that the national broadcaster should be going through the same experience that the rest of the British public are.
This led to layoffs and cutbacks, but interestingly, not for BBC Persian, which actually received a budget increase.
BBC 15 میلیون پوند سالانه داره درآمد گوردون بران از ما ویتی میگیره، تکس میگیره که خرج شما رو بده. شما الکی اونجا جمع نشدین که برای وقت منو بگذارونی برادر من. BBC ما از زمانی که یاد میدیم منبع و فتنه بوده، ولی BBC شده چشم فتنه، آتشبیار معرکه شده. شما اینو قبول میکنید؟
نه، من قبول نمیکنم و چونم نماینده بی بی سی سخنگوش نیستم نمیتونم راجع به موضع بی بی سی صحبت بکنم، اما صرفاً فقط میتونم بگم اگه کسی یه جای تریبون نداشته باشه، احساس میکنه که تنها جایی که میتونه حرفشو بزنه میره همونجا دیگه. یعنی به نظرم یه واکنش طبیعی انسان هاست.
یک رهبر و فرماندهی مشخص نداره.
The BBC is also criticized for giving terrorist group members a podium. It's 2009. A bomb has just been detonated in a crowded bazaar. 43 people are dead or dying, among them children. The Jundullah terrorist group took full responsibility for this attack. Jundullah's leader, Abdulmalek Karighi, is a notorious figure in Iran for everything from bombings to beheading his hostages, the footage of which was broadcasted on the Al Arabiya news network. Abdulmalek Karighi was given a podium by BBC Persian. The title he was introduced with was the head of the Free Balochistan movement.
تمام اون کسانی که در این طور مجالس جمع شدن و در این طور تجمعات جمع شدن کسانی بودن که درست لباس ممکنه بلوچی داشتن به تنشون یا این که زبانشون بلوچی بوده، ولی اونا کسایی بودن که مزدور بودن، مزدور رژیم بودن و همون اهداف و برنامه های رژیم را در منطقه دنبال میکردن و اونها نماینده مردم بلوچ نبودن.
It is undeniable that the West holds the reins of the dominant narrative. But what about those networks trying to present an alternative view? News channels like Press TV have had to face an array of obstacles to have their say. Nevertheless, although the West introduces itself as the true advocate of freedom of speech, Press TV has been taken off the air in Britain.
The British war in Afghanistan, the British war in Iraq, hundreds of thousands of civilians have been killed in Iraq and Afghanistan since 2001. And the British government played a role in that. So Press TV highlighted that role. What happened in 2011, the unrest in the UK, how the British government approached the issue, the royal wedding, what happened, the costs of the royal wedding at times of great economic difficulty for the people of Britain. So these are sort of things that Press TV highlighted, and the British government really didn't like those issues to be highlighted. And according to the arrangement between Washington and London, Press TV was shut down.
The WikiLeaks documents basically sort of presented this idea that the British government is quite upset with Press TV because of, I guess, the effectiveness of Press TV in the British media environment, and they wanted an excuse to close it.
Ofcom, the independent regulator and competition authority for the UK communications industries, has had a lot to say about Press TV broadcasts.
The £100,000, we've been fined for £100,000, and now our license is being revoked. How does this work? They said, okay, now you pay the £100,000 and then apply for a license. We revoke your license and apply for a license. We said, okay, fine, this just doesn't add up. You are saying that the London offices of Press TV didn't have control over the broadcast. So if they didn't have control over the broadcast, so why would they have to pay £100,000 for something that has been broadcast? You know what I'm talking about. So it's like we are paying for something that we are not responsible for.
The definitions of journalism, freedom of speech, and espionage are called into question on a daily basis. Every day, new and improved ways for breaking the rules are devised. New technologies surface to aid covert operations. And every day, ways to fight the onslaught must also be thought up. The question is whether news networks like the BBC are all they say they are.